This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the breakfast grill today is Anthony Lee, who's chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, or PIAM as it is known locally. The general insurance industry racks up about just under 20 billion ringgit a year in premiums, and Bank Negara wants to free up pricing in general insurance in a process called de-tarification. Anthony, could you give us a little bit of a background about this policy and why Bank Negara is doing this?
Sure. Thanks for having me here. Most importantly, is this is a big game changer for insurance. So the two products, fire and motor, are tariff products today, which means that they're fixed prices regardless of what you sell. Everything is standardized. We know that risks in general are not the same. So you take motor, the way people drive, the tendency for good drivers and bad drivers to have to pay the same rate is not a fair thing. Ultimately, this will lead to a fairer and more transparent pricing and also more product innovation. So it's an exciting time for the industry and we're looking forward to it.
So ultimately, it would lead to cheaper products for people with low risk.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you tell who has high risk and who has low risk?
So we have statistics, for example. So, we all look at that. Many components, if you take generalizations, obviously, the young male driver tends to unfortunately have, much higher accident rate. So all of these factors, even professions, type of car, number of miles driven, many, many variables in there.
And are you looking forward to the implementation of this policy, which would allow insurance companies, general insurance companies, to really bundle and price their products correctly?
That's right. I think that this will be something that then hopefully people will realize that it will affect their lives. So if they choose to drive more carefully, it will save them money.
And I understand that this is going to be a phased implementation. What is going to happen from now till, 2019, which is the ultimate date that Bank Negara wants this implemented?
That's right. So we've been working together with Bank Negara for quite a number of years. And looking at the process, what they want to do is, having considered it, because most markets, when they liberalize, you get severe disruptions to the industry. So by phasing it, phase one immediately will be for motor products. It will allow for product innovation. So we can have, additional benefits, bundling, packaging of products. So that's for year one. Starts on July 1st. And July 1st next year, they will then allow pricing variation for motor. And subsequently, we don't have the details yet, but subsequently the fire tariff will also become liberalized. So it has been very thought through. It's carefully staged process. And both PM, the industry body, is also part of that process to ensure standardization of policy wording.
Right, because that can be a nightmare, right?
That's
the language
right.
That's involved
that's right.
in policy.
So if you imagine today, your average person is not going to be bothered too much reading their motor policy because it's all the same.
It's all in Greek as well.
Yeah, well, good to learn many languages. Yeah. Malaysians are good at languages. But if you open that up, so we need to make sure that the wordings all mean the same, so different companies don't come up with their own words and then everyone gets confused.
So I'm looking forward to cheaper policies, but it would seem that I would only get this next year in 2017. Why not an immediate implementation of cheaper policies?
I think if I look at it two ways. So you'll still get value because when it comes to bundling, etc. So companies, I think, will want to give more coverage for the same price. That would be the likely trend. Most importantly, though, is to ensure that all the implementation is in a manner that is, sustainable and in a way that's understood by the public before the pricing comes in straight away. So, yes, we would have loved to come up with pricing immediately. But this is going to require time. So I think Bank Negara wants to make sure that the process is in place first.
So if I look at some kind of a plain vanilla policy, like a plain motor policy, a home policy, how do you bundle such products? I mean, are you just adding unnecessarily bells and whistles to the basic policy?
So you think about, lifestyles, right? So I give you one example. Flood cover now is not, it's not standard. So you have to opt for it in addition. So if I start thinking about, the number of, we have seen much more flood issues recently. If I take your lifestyle, you know, perhaps you travel a bit more. You might need an element of personal accident insurance that, that covers you in case, you know, something untoward were to happen. The whole idea is to make sure you have better awareness of your risks and that, you know, at the end of the day, when any of these things that might happen, happen, you're in a good place because you've bought the right policies and coverages. So the bundling is meant to be to suit the lifestyle of what you, the way you live your life today.
So while you may bundle and offer more products at the same price, would it also in some way reduce flexibility, which is really bad for consumers, right? If you can go to a website and choose like what you do on an a la carte menu, would that not be highly flexible?
Our understanding, again, the details will be released this week, but so far in discussions, the way that will be sold, it'll also allow you to opt and also to opt out during any time during while you've got the policy in force. So the flexibility will remain. I think the intent is to really to make sure that consumers are protected and consumers are aware.
Anthony Lee, the chairman of General Insurance Association of Malaysia, or PIAM, is on the Breakfast Grill this morning, and we are talking about de-tarification. If you have any comments, do text us at 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Anthony, the other thing about immediate liberalization is also very bloody competition. I mean, we've seen in the examples of China and India that this resulted in a rollback of premiums upon de-tarification. Is the industry also afraid of this kind of very bloody competition?
Sure. And I think that's why, again, we've been working on this for quite a number of years with Bank Negara, and the thought process into starting with product innovation first before pricing, and then starting with motor before fire. So they've thought this through, and they've been very clear. They've said that, you know, if there were going to be serious market disruptions, they will stop the process. So they want to ensure that, most importantly, the industry remains on solid footing, and there aren't, you know, carriers willing or wanting to take undue risk.
Why is it so difficult for insurance companies to find some kind of a market equilibrium? Why go out there and kill each other? I mean, if the product, and as I understand it, the fraud level for motor insurance is quite high.
Yep.
Why go out there and kill yourselves?
So some of it is, you know, when you do product innovation, there's certain products or new risks that you'll take on that you might not necessarily have all the data points. And only when you're actually been selling and experiencing, you know, the loss results, do you realize, you know, where the tendencies are going to go. So, of course, if you allow all of this to happen at once too fast, you're going to, you know, put yourself potentially at risk there. So I don't think the intent ultimately isn't about, you know, killing each other. The intent is how much more can we do for the customer? And if you go a step too far or too many steps too far, that's where the issue starts. But fraud is a big element. And so even PIAM, the association, is doing a lot of work on fraud. And we're actually hoping to invest significant money in a fraud intelligence system across the industry, which will, I think, do a lot of good.
And the other thing that would be affected by liberalization or de-tarification is also the agency force. I suppose a big part of the business right now is supported by the agency model.
Yes. If you take, you know, Asia and Malaysia particularly, you know, it's simply the lifestyle thing. Understanding of insurance, the awareness is still low. So agents are the ones that have always traditionally acted as that way. And they'll have a bigger role to play, because when we start selling different products across carriers, they need to understand which ones are going to suit their customers' needs. So that will, I think, get even more important. So we need to also make sure that the professionalism of the agency force is lifted so that there's a better image for the industry as a whole. Unfortunately, there's always a few errant fellows that you know, create trouble for everybody else. So we want to make sure that whole profession is regarded, you know, as good as, you know, doctors, lawyers, architects, etc.
I now buy insurance directly, actually, whether it's some life insurance or general insurance. And I find that going online to buy insurance is very informative, and not to mention it saves a lot of costs.
Yes.
How much? We know that in life insurance, the commissions forms about over 170% of one year of premiums.
Sure.
What is that number in general insurance? How much commissions?
Yeah, so the number is significantly lower. It varies by product type. Some are fixed, so you know, some are around 15%. Some can be slightly higher. But it is reflective of the service element that the agent is performing, because it's not just, of course, making you aware of what there is. I mean, they should be looking at you as an individual or as a family and saying, okay, you know, these are all the risk parameters that you face. And then let's say as your lifestyle changes, you should also be thinking about, you know, once you have family, et cetera, or education needs, et cetera, all of this needs to be factored in. But I think technology will help the individuals, as you say, have much better awareness of their needs and a better understanding, and you know, they'll make their own decisions, and we're seeing that already. There are more people willing to buy insurance through various different distribution channels.
And so, I just want to go back and press you on the agency model. I mean, if you cut out the middle person, you immediately save 15 to 20% in terms of agent's commission. I'm sure that's a very seductive proposition for the consumer. And that's a direction that's probably unstoppable, right?
Yeah, if you look at mature markets, there's obviously more tendency to buy online. But I think, again, it's important to differentiate very simple products where consumers in general understand that very well versus complex products where coverage is, you know, the limits, the liabilities, the amount of payback is significantly different because of the type of risk. And you've also got to remember, you know, the level of insurance awareness and understanding of insurance in Malaysia versus those markets. So, yes, over time, and it's our job also as PM to educate consumers in terms of what they need and their understanding of it. So it'll be a phase. It will run through. I think it's most importantly is that you get the right level of service and the right price point for what it is that you're buying. And I think that's important. So it's a bit dangerous to simplify it to just say, yes, it'll be cheaper if I buy something direct. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, though, is what are you actually buying, and is it enough to meet your needs?
But there is a perception that most of the products that are being bought by consumers are pretty simple, and the more complex ones are the domain of, let's say, the SME industry or industrial companies. What is that split of general insurance sales between retail individuals and corporations?
So we don't have a totally accurate number, but my gut feel is that personal insurance is probably about 70% of the whole industry, and 30% is commercial. SME tends to sort of be in a bit of a gray zone between the two, because sometimes SME owners will buy things through the individual names, sometimes through the companies, so it's not so easy to measure. But even the SME thing, if you take that as a segment or as a sector, also is very severely underinsured. And that there's a lot more room for growth. So again, it goes back to the understanding, right? So to what extent, and I think the whole industry needs to work hard to make sure people are aware. You know, when you wake up in the morning, do you say, you know, I need some insurance today, right? And even you take travel, I mean, and you're a seasoned traveler, you understand the need for travel insurance, but you'll be surprised how few Malaysian travelers buy travel insurance. You know, it's shockingly low. And you see all the incidents that happen, you know, earthquakes, tsunamis, etc., all over the place, yet we seem a bit too oblivious or carefree, maybe.
So would you say that online is a very firm growth strategy for the industry? How exciting is the online phenomenon?
I think online, you know, again, certain sectors where it's simple enough, are growing well. And there are many intermediaries, so whether it's airlines selling it, etc., or banks selling it, all of those are growth areas, all have been growing well. It still will take quite a number of years to match anywhere where the rest of, you know, the traditional channels have been selling. So it's not going to flip overnight. And again, it goes back to awareness and understanding. So the older generation tend to be more careful and tend to, you know, prefer to use channels that they're used to. The younger generation, I think, are more likely to say, yeah, I'm used to dealing online. I'm comfortable dealing online, so I'll do it that way. So again, we're not saying any channel's better over the other. We want to make sure that as long as the whole insurance penetration rate doubles every few years, we're happy, because that will meet the overall industry's goals.
Where is that right now, the penetration
rate?
Very
low. So we're about, you know, we think it's about 1.5% of GDP. Mature markets can be up to, you know, almost 8, 9, 10% of GDP. So long way to go.
And yet you representing PIAM are forecasting about 2.5% to 3.5% growth. That's a pretty muted growth trajectory.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to do much more to make that higher. I mean, obviously, it's heavily dependent on motor sales, right? So motor insurance accounts for, you know, almost 50% of the whole industry. And that, if motor sales head downwards, it's difficult to prove.
Which it is this year. I mean, we're talking about, you know, in the mid-teens of negative growth for car sales this year. Is that affecting the business badly?
Well, those that have diversified portfolios are okay. I mean, less impacted. Those that are heavily dependent on motor sales obviously will get significantly impacted. So I think all of the detail, the liberalization will make it better in terms of companies having more diversified portfolios.
Would you say that new car sales are a small part of insurance growth? Because you have a very sticky business, don't you? You have already a huge number of car owners in Malaysia, they will continue to provide business for the industry.
They will, but new cars obviously have a higher value, right? So the insured value makes a big difference in terms of the premium reflected against that. So if all the cars start aging, and you know, tends to be the older cars tend to have higher loss ratios. So whether it's a case of, you know, being less well driven or less well maintained, etc., all of that has a factor in it.
And what do you make of, talking about online, of the ride-sharing app phenomenon, you know, the Ubers and the Grabs that are right now so widespread? Does this drive insurance, general insurance growth?
So it will drive, I would say, the efficiency in terms of the way the industry works. However, you know, you have to remember that all of these ride-sharing, et cetera, they've got to have also the appropriate level of insurance, right? So liability insurance is very important for those carriers. So in case something happens to the passenger in the car, do they have the appropriate cover? So, you know, a lot needs to be done to ensure that that's in place. There is still an issue, as I'm sure you're aware, where certain car owners are using their own personal cars without the appropriate insurance to provide, you know, ride-sharing.
So what they're using is a private car rather than a commercial use coverage. How serious is this situation?
So they won't have the appropriate cover. So what needs to happen, and it is happening at the moment, I think government, et cetera, are working to come up with the right level of, the certification. So whether it's a professional or a private use, there needs to be something that caters for this new category of transport that is available. And I think, you know, these things have revolutionized, obviously, transport significantly in many markets, and everyone is struggling to come up with the appropriate coverages. So we feel confident that I know the government is working on it, so hopefully it will all come out in a clear way fairly soon.
And that would mean more business for the insurance companies, because they can do deals with Uber and Grab, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
But is that a good thing? Because that would just concentrate business in the hands of a few insurers.
Again, I think, you know, Malaysians still love their cars. I can't see them, you know, wanting to give up the driving pleasure, especially we've got, you know, beautiful roads and nice places to drive to. So the Ubers cater to a particular niche. Let's say it's people going from A to B for work during the week. But I still think there will be a lot of desire and need for people wanting to drive their own cars. So again, it's different. What is the evolution of the way we set about our daily lives? And that goes back to the coverages that people need. The evolution of that is constantly changing as well. So, you know, we need to embrace all of this. I think you can't say one's bad or better over the other. In the end of the day, it's about convenience. And if consumers get better value over it, they will choose it.
And what about fire insurance? I mean, we know that fire is not so widespread these days, but it's still a risk, and that's dependent on the property sector. It's the second largest insurance contributor at 17%.
Yep.
How is that doing?
So, again, awareness is an issue here, because typically I think most people buy fire only when it's they've got a bank loan and they tend to be forced to do it. So back to awareness, if you take to mature markets, everyone will buy fire, contents, home, etc. This is a very natural thing. So in case there's flood or theft, you've got your coverages. And again, they're not expensive relative to the exposure. So I think Malaysians need to get aware of, you know, the assets that they sit on are worth a lot these days, right? So, you know, if something happened to your home and you had to rebuild it, that's a significant amount of money you've got to come up with. So, you know, you are simply because it tends to happen less, but people still have that exposure.
We have Anthony Lee, Chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia, PIAM, on Breakfast Grill this morning. Now, Anthony, claims, that's about 53-54% of written premiums, I believe.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, it's affected by fraud levels. Mm. Is this number pretty stable?
So we see, again, significant upside if we are able to tackle, you know, potential fraud areas, particularly motor claims, I think we're talking about here. And we have actually a body of work where we're looking to invest significantly in a system that looks across the industry. So all insurers will share their data on motor claims, and that will allow us to zoom in into particular areas where, you know, they're inconsistent with the overall market and take action as necessary. So we've been doing a lot of work in that in the past, but as individual companies, when you share the data for an industry, it's going to be much easier and faster to react. And there are syndicates, obviously, that we have you know, awareness of, that target, you know, companies and create, you know, fraudulent claims. We need to lower that. That level needs to be lower.
Now, you earlier also talked about how certain local industries certain local insurance companies are not well diversified enough to have different portfolios to handle different situations. Mm. Would this lead to more M&A deals in the industry?
Well, there have been a lot of M&A deals over the last 10 years. I think there definitely is room for a few more. And we'll watch to see as that market evolves and changes. You know, the future of risk, if you think about it, with Internet of Things, so many different areas where disrupted companies and ways of doing things, insurers need to also adapt and embrace those changes. So, for example, you know, motor, if we get to driverless cars, I know that's a way away, you know, that's going to be product liability versus individual people needing their own personal coverage. So all of this is a big evolution that's coming this way, and all of us as insurers need to be ready for it.
What about the area of bank assurance? I mean, this is a main feature of life insurance, but what about general insurance?
Yeah, so there still is a good market there. Again, it goes down to insurance awareness. So, you know, PA cover, for example, simple coverages like that, a lot of people, individuals, don't have it. You know, so if you meet with an accident, at least the family gets 100,000 ringgit, even for very, very small minor premiums. And that is something that bank assurance, because they have the customer bases, so it's easier for them to be able to tap onto that and give them the awareness and make them buy. And, you know, the purchasing path is very simplified, because simply they just take a deduction off you know, every month of their accounts. So there is a role to play.
Thank you so much for joining us. And that was Anthony Lee, Chairman of General Insurance Association of Malaysia, or PIAM, joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.